You're listening to The Pulse
on University Radio Nottingham.
Yes, yeah, so I'm just going to go over the key points from Jeremy Hunt's 2023 budget. So he has announced that there will be a cap on the amount of workers that can accumulate in pension savings over their lifetime before having to pay extra tax, which is currently 1.7 million to be abolished. There will also be tax-free yearly allowance for pension pots to rise from 40,000 to 60,000, having been frozen for 9 years. There will also be like government subsidies limiting typical household energy bills to £2,500 a year, which will be extended for 3 months until the end of June. There's commitments to invest over £20 billion over the next 2 decades on low carbon energy projects, with a focus on carbon capture and storage. There's also going to be 30 hours of free childcare for working parents in England, expanded to cover 1- and 2-year-olds, to be rolled out in stages from April 2024. Families on universal credit to receive childcare support up front instead of in arrears, with the £646 a month per child cap raised to £951. There's also incentive payments, which are about £600 for those becoming childminders, and relaxed rules in England to let childminders look after more children. There's also going to be tougher requirements to look for work and increased job support for lead child carers on universal credit. There's a lot of different things. I'll be here all day, but there's also the main rate of corporation tax paid by businesses on taxable profits over 250,000 is confirmed to increase from 19% to 25%, and companies with profits between 50,000 and 250,000 to pay between 19% and 25%. And there's also like tax breaks and other things. It's quite long, but yeah, I mean, what did you guys think of the budget overall? Were people pleased?
I think it's a pretty good budget, I'm not gonna lie. I think it's actually quite decent. Do I think this is going to make much difference to the Conservatives' chance of winning the next election? Probably not. I was just saying in the break that I think Rishi Sunak is actually quite a competent prime minister, but he has inherited such a mess and in many ways from his predecessors that despite being probably the best of the Conservative prime ministers of recent years, that might not reflect in election results. But to the budget, I think this is being colloquially known as the back to work budget. It's encouraging people to go back to work, which we have had an issue of a lot of people for different reasons after the COVID pandemic of not returning to work. And again, as I say, many different reasons. I think the childcare one is very interesting, about extending that to 1- and 2-year-olds, as you said there in your introduction, Rebecca. That's very interesting. This is coming from a conservative government, but I suppose in a way it's both pro-work and pro-family by ensuring that people could still have children and still work. The pensions thing is to encourage people to work longer, even when they can take their pension, which will help as well. So that's good. Yeah, so overall, the corporation tax one, risky move. I'm not against it entirely, but I do think that it will come with a lot of risks. We've already seen AstraZeneca leave to Ireland because of their low corporation tax, and they did cite our incoming tax increases as a reason for leaving. I think we might see that a lot more, bearing in mind we're also not in the Eurozone, European Union. So bearing that in mind, and the fact that we can't really become a tax haven, a low tax area, might impede us. But overall, I think it's a pretty good budget. I mean, the economic think tanks on the left and the free market right have criticised it, but the more centrist ones have praised it on the whole. So I think overall, it's a pretty, pretty good budget.
I believe it's like proportionate to the situation we're currently in. Obviously, when Kwasi Kwarteng introduced his budget, God, it must have been 6 months ago now, was it? Oh, I've just lost track of time.
It was like a lifetime ago. Yeah,
yeah, I think, you know, when you suppress trauma, I think it's like that. I can't actually tell when it was. But that was not at all proportionate or correct to the situation we're currently in and what the economy was like. This feels like the typical, almost boring budget in the sense that you can't, you know, Rebecca read through all those different points because there were policies in it. There's not really an overarching ideology that's just driving, like, we want to lower taxes, we will do it against rational, any sort of rational decision making like I interpreted Kazi Kateng's budget as being, where this budget seems much more like this is the situation and we're actually going to try and fix it instead of just throwing our ideology at something and hoping it sticks. I like that there is the stuff to do with childcare. I think this is in response to the Times put out an education commission earlier this year, which said we really need to focus on early learning, and focusing on those 1 and 2 year olds, I think, is really, really important. It also very important for particularly mothers who feel like they have to give up their career in order to look after children, because it's actually more economical for them to give up their jobs and reduce an income to a one income household rather than pay for childcare, which is a disgusting state of our country, that it's more appropriate to give up your job than to pay for childcare. So hopefully this should sort out some of the issues that's going on in that department. I don't believe there was a lot of points, as Rebecca said, but I don't believe there was any particular attempt to fix social care. I don't see that anywhere. No. And that's a massive, massive issue, as we've seen during the pandemic. And the idea that that's not even been addressed is quite concerning. And so there are some things that I'm a bit like, you could have gone a bit further on. But if we look at sort of the state of the economy currently, just trying to stabilise and stabilise the economy, I think is a good objective.
I mean, I agree with the Scarlett and Felix. I think that the childcare plans are, it's quite a nice sort of, it was quite surprising, I think, to see the government do it. But yeah, I think it's definitely a good policy, I think, because it will encourage more parents and that to go back to work, which I think is a good thing for the economy. I think there was another point in the budget, it said about they've increased defence spending, which again, I think with the situation in Ukraine, I think that's a necessity.
Being boosted by £11 billion, but I don't think that's an instant increase. I think it's over a period of time. I'm not sure, though.
And the other thing that is sort of similar to what Scarlett had said, that I don't think they've mentioned, as far as I'm aware, has there been any measures to tackle any of the problems with the NHS in the budget? Because obviously that's been a big problem with the hospital.
Not really.
Waiting lists and the ambulance waiting times.
I think it's probably, I mean, when you look at it, in terms of a, might be reading too much into it, but in terms of from a communications perspective, by trying to put stuff in your budget to fix those things, they'll never go the full way and they'll just draw more attention to the fact that they're broken, so therefore attempting to almost miss them out but cover up a lot of other bases, perhaps.
Yes, that's true.
Is advantageous to them.
That's true, but it's also been the biggest strike day in history, since these period of strikes began last year. And I think to just completely ignore the situation when you've got 400,000 people on strike today, I don't know how. Perhaps that is a good argument, don't address it at all, and no one will bring it up. But realistically, these are massive issues facing our country, what the teachers are going through, what junior doctors and nurses are going through, what everyone's going through at the moment, because it is a cost of living crisis and everybody is suffering. So I think it's good, you know, focus on childcare, focus on the future and the generations, but people are suffering now. So I hope they're coming up with something else to sort of address these issues, because they seem competent enough as a government. Like, Rishi Sunak's government seems more competent to me. They actually seem to have policies and want to enact this change to make this country better in specific areas, not just enact an ideology that they wrote a book about 10 years ago.
That's true.
So for me, they have the opportunity, they seem to have some sensible people in cabinet that want to make the lives of people in this country better. So I'm a bit disappointed that they didn't include some of those policies, but hopefully they are introducing something further down the line. Again, I think there's a prediction of 0.2% is it growth or the reduced growth?
Yeah, I think they said the recession isn't going
to. Yeah, there's not going to be.
There's going to be a recession.
There's not going to be a recession, which is obviously good news. But that gives the opportunity. So you're not fighting a recession. So why don't you fight for change?
Yeah, I guess granted, not having a recession nowadays sort of just indicates how low the bar is, I feel, in terms of economic management. I mean, in terms of disappointment, the popular finance expert Martin Lewis said that found it disappointing that there was no change to lifetime ISA allowances, saying that he was hoping to see the allowance for lifetime ISA to increase in terms of what you can buy, obviously in response to the housing market. So that's potentially something that's still relevant, especially to perhaps younger generations, because obviously there's quite a lot here for families, for parents, for obviously for pensioners regarding scrapping the limit on the tax-free pension contributions. But I definitely think it's one of those ones that they definitely had to put some good, I mean, almost labour-y policies in some sense, because this is their big opportunity to attempt at least to win back the confidence of some of the public.
One thing that kind of, it overall struck me as quite sort of surprisingly centrist, but one thing that I think has kind of been snuck in is the fact that immigration rules are to be relaxed for 5 roles in the construction sector to ease labour shortages. I wondered if that was a bit of a contradiction with the current position that the Conservatives are taking towards immigration and how that will go down.
It's one of those classic things of them realising that sadly, in some cases, sadly in their minds, that you can't restrict everyone, because as we've seen recently when it comes to shortages with things like lorry drivers in particular and stuff like that, it's economically it's not particularly sustainable.
What I find interesting is Suella Braverman was included in the cabinet so that the right of the party would support Rishi Sunak. And I don't know if he's trying to enact this budget and put some of these immigration policies in this budget that technically she has nothing to do with, to try and combat what she... I'm under the impression that she's sort of run off by herself in the Home Office trying to enact this immigration bill, which is... very awful and very disturbing for the future of our country if it does get through. So perhaps maybe I'm giving Rishi Sunak too much credit here, but perhaps he's trying to manipulate the immigration policy through the back door through this budget.
I think that actually quite a lot of the Conservatives don't actually have a problem with legal immigration. Now, we talked about the immigration bill last week, and I condemned that then. I do think it is, as I think we probably all agree on, it's abhorrent with the treatment of people crossing the channel. But the Conservatives view that, and they are right on in the technical sense that they are illegal immigrants. Obviously, that includes asylum seekers, and that's why why many of us have an issue with that. But legal immigration, a lot of the Conservative Party actually don't have a problem with that. And that does annoy the hardcore Brexiteers that viewed Brexit as a way to end immigration. In fact, I remember Liz Truss saying that she wanted more immigration. And she's obviously seen to be on the right of the party. So I don't... to answer Rebecca's question about contradictory, I think that to a lot of people that are anti-immigration, they will view this as contradictory, and if they read that, which they probably won't find out about it, because I don't think that is wildly broadcast. You've done well to find that, Rebecca. I think that for the Conservatives, I don't think they view it themselves in their ideological sense as contradictory. Though, does that line up with the whole idea of Brexit? Well, that's up to the person, of course, because Brexit doesn't have a unanimous view of what that is, which was part of the problem.
What I find is that the right of the Tory party, they may think they have an ideology on immigration, but it's very selective, the right kind of immigrants entering this country. So the ones that come through legal immigrants, some Tory parties may express a preference for being from a certain country, perhaps associated with their race, whereas I find that you would have a much more concrete argument on immigration if you had some sort of consistency in your argument. And it seems to me like a lot of Tory MPs from the right of the party want a certain kind of immigration, and we've always seen that throughout the history of this country, that the opinion towards certain types of immigrants changes over time. And I personally find what's been said about asylum seekers and some of the language that Suella Braverman has been using is incredibly reductive to the debate and really distracts from all the people that are suffering. So I hope that I hope the situation improves.
Yeah, it's a very fair observation there, Scarlett. I mean, just summing up then, I think as a budget, it was, you know, it was marketed at the start as a boring budget. In terms of, I mean, it's boring in the sense that there was nothing too exciting, but in terms of individual policies, there's some interesting things there. Obviously, as we spoke about before, increase in corporation tax, things like that.
On campus.
And online.
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 This
is
URN.